Woodburn. My firm has been helping citizens, law firms, and insurance companies throughout the state for the last 10 years. Gateway Investigations, when you need to know the truth. 238-1367 or visit us online, gatewaypi.net, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
Western Sports Bar and Grill takes bar food to a whole new level. They offer a full menu of made-from-scratch items and brine their corned beef in-house. Stop in for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Saturday, and enjoy $6 select appetizers, plus discounted pitchers, buckets, drafts, wells, and wine. Visit Lester's on Clayton Road near Highway 40, or view Lester's menu at lestersrestaurant.com. Lester's, a sports bar that serves up great food, or a great restaurant that serves up sports. You'll just have to decide at Lester's.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Oh, my goodness, look at this. It's 4 o'clock. Scott Sherman is in the room. I'll prove it. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm great, Frank. How are you?
Good. We're about to hit Scott's theme song. And when we do, we start taking calls. And I see that there are two lines open. If I were you, I would jump on them. Here we go. 314-821-0590. Let's do that again. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. And Pamela, if you're listening, did you find her email, by the way?
No.
Pamela, we don't know what's going on here. We never got your email. If you're listening, call and just talk it through with Scott. Because I do remember you called, I think it was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was
and
yesterday.
We promised we'd look into why he didn't get back to you, and it's because he never got your email. So Pamela and everybody else is welcome to call because we are now officially... Oh, my one quick thing. Scott Sherman is brought to you by Pirroni's Pizza. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. Pirroni's Pizza has two locations. They're in Florissant and they're in St. Peter's. And every Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., they have a tremendous all-you-can-eat buffet. And on Friday, that would be tomorrow, it includes their famous chicken wings. Find out more at pirronispizza.com.
On the side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm.
Yes, it is Thursday.
One
of my favorite segments, maybe my very favorite, but we're here to help you. I'm going to give these numbers one more time. I still see a couple of lines open. Folks, the smart people... Call now, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Let's first welcome Scott Sherman.
Wait, Scott. Thank you, Frank.
We'll start with Marcia. Marcia, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Mr. Sherman.
Hi, Marcia.
Okay, I have a question. This is actually for my sister who's unable to call at this time, but... She is on Social Security disability. For whatever reason, she purchased a new car in her own name and gave it to her daughter with the agreement that her daughter was going to make payments. Obviously, it didn't work out. Her daughter is not making payments. She's wondering if she lets the car go back. Since it's in her name alone, will they attach her Social Security disability or can they?
If it goes back, where?
If they repossess it?
Repossess it, yes.
Well, first of all, why would you even think about that route before you would sell it?
Well, because I think they're so far behind in payments, I don't even know if they could sell it without... I don't know, honestly.
It doesn't make sense to me, but it doesn't make sense to me. I'll turn it over to Scott here, but to me, I don't understand that thinking. You don't want a repossession on your credit history. I would sell the car. But here's Scott.
I'm going to go forwards and backwards and hopefully forwards again and get it all swept up. One, Frank's right. If it belongs to your sister and it's her car, she could sell it. Now, she might still be underwater with respect to what she owes on the loan, but she could probably do a better job in a private sale than she could do having it repoed and sold at an auction. But let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that your deadbeat niece gets the car repoed because it's already behind, and then it goes through the process of being sold at auction, and your sister, for instance, has a $10,000 arrearage. Could they, A, sue her, B, get a judgment, C, collect if she's her own only source of income is Social Security disability? Yes, they could repossess it. Yes, they could get a judgment against her for the arrearage. No, they could not attach her Social Security benefits. Those for disability people are exempt. But she's got herself in a pickle because you said she gave it to her daughter, which means she didn't sell it to her daughter, and so she ought to get it back. She didn't title it over. It still has a lien on it from the finance company. But she needs to repo it back herself. At the very least, she could drive it. Now, my question is, how much about do you know is owed on this car? I mean, how big of a deal is this? Is it a $50,000 car or a $3,000 car?
It's 17 or 18 Equinox, so I'm sure there's at least, 18 to 20,000 still owed on it
because
it's not that old.
No, it's practically new.
She should go get the keys away from her daughter before she goes and kills somebody, because she probably doesn't have insurance on it and she is irresponsible enough not to pay the note. Okay. And B, once she has it, go on to one of the websites that will value a car, either KBB or Edmunds, and see what is owed, and then get on the phone with the finance company before they hook it and see if she can make a deal and claim, I'm on SSD, you're not going to collect from me anyway. Is there a way that I can pay modestly so you don't repossess this thing? Because in the end, you're not going to get anything but the car back while she's looking for a buyer. It's a mess. It's her daughter's fault, but it's also her fault.
Exactly. But she's worried about, because her Social Security goes into a joint bank account with her husband, who is actively working, if they'll attach somehow their bank account rather than just her Social Security. You know what I mean?
Well, if she's got a joint bank account and it's a private lien, they have to have both people as the debtor, except the IRS. Yep. They can grab whatever they want. But she needs to get the car back and sit down and talk about a strategy on how to unscrew this mess before it becomes untenable. The other thing is, it's not just about attaching her income or grabbing her bank account. Her credit is going to be screwed up, so that if she is looking to get another car or she wants to move, she's going to be trapped with very little income because of her Social Security, her SSD. She's also going to have a judgment against her, which is bad, and her credit's going to be a mess. So when it's time for them to retire or want to go on a trip or get a car, when they want a car, her little beautiful little baby girl just caused them a huge problem.
Yeah, Marcia, chances are, if she sells the car, she's going to eat a chunk of it. She'll lose money because she's not going to get what she owes. But there's a price to pay either way. Either you do that and just eat that difference, or the price you're going to pay if you let them foreclose is, like Scott said, you don't want that on your credit history, that they had to come and take your car back. And so I'd cough up the $3,000 or whatever and move on. It's just a lesson learned
Another thing she can do is she could go to a dealership and roll that loss into the next payment. And that way, at least it's not a fork. Even if she takes a bath on the trade-in, she gets into something else, something more modest. Maybe it's a used car. And if you buy it right, you could roll the difference into the new payment. That way, the car's not hooked. You don't get sued. Your credit doesn't get screwed up. You may be paying more than you should, but you avoid all of the negative about having a car repossessed and about being sued and having a judgment against it.
And like you guys said earlier, if the daughter is that negligent, she probably doesn't have insurance on it, so then she is actually on the hook if anything happens, right, to anyone.
Absolutely.
Because her name's on the title.
And then, because there's, you know, it's a doctrine of negligent entrustment. You let your daughter, who probably has a terrible driving history, drive your car. I don't think the title switched. She could also sue her daughter. I mean, that would be that'd be kind of fun, because now she breached the contract. You say she gave it to her. That might be a euphemism for an agreement by which the daughter could drive the car in exchange for agreeing to make the payments, right?
That's exactly
well,
right.
Well, that doesn't have to be in writing. That is a breach of an agreement. So what I'd say is she needs to get the keys back, repossess her own car. She doesn't need paperwork for that. Put it in the garage. Put the keys in a safe. And then send me an email, and we'll go through a strategy by which maybe she could fix this from being a disaster. And then sue her daughter. That'd be fun.
Marcia, do you have Scott's email address?
I do. It's lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
Ooh, we're off to a good start today.
I am a faithful listener every single day to you guys, and I listen to Dan and Scott on Saturdays.
Marcia, so far today, you're my favorite listener.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the loyalty, and tell her to get that car back, okay?
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
All right, Marcia, thank you. That opens the line. See, one leaves, line's open. 314-821-0590. See, we're 590. Makes it easy. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Let's say hello to Larry. Larry, you say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. How are you today?
Great, Larry. How are you?
Good. First off, I'd like to say AM and the PM.
We like to hear it.
Second of all, I'd like to say, Frank, thanks for all your support to law enforcement. I'm a law enforcement officer, and I appreciate what you do for us and that you recognize us at the end of your show every day. Thank you very much.
Happy to do it, and don't intend to stop. You're welcome.
Thank you. So I have a question for you. My father-in-law, who has passed away, God rest his soul, had Alzheimer's toward the end of his life, and he kept getting in the mail these cards. We want to purchase your vehicle. We need to put you in a new vehicle. And he went to a dealership, won't mention the name, and traded in his paid-for vehicle, 2010, and got a brand-new vehicle and financed it. And basically, make a long story short, he got the short end of the stick.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
And so anyway, he...
anyway.
Forgot. There you go. You
got gotcha.
Oh, boy.
He forgot to make the payments on the vehicle. And 4 months after he got the vehicle, it got repossessed.
Okay.
So he's out the money that he put down on the car. He's out the money that, you know, the trade-in value on his car. And then he got a note from the finance company that he owes like $5,200 for the difference in the tow and the repossession and all the stuff.
And Larry, the reason when you say he forgot to make the payments, because they send you notices, hey, second notice, third notice, warning. This was all because, I'm guessing, of the Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He did. Just was. First of all, I mean, if you would have talked to him for any length, his license was suspended because he couldn't pass the test, but he drove there anyway and did all this without anybody knowing.
Okay.
And so they, you know, clearly took advantage of him. I spoke to the dealership and the sales manager told me, well, he came to us. We didn't, you know. I said, okay, well, I talked to the man for 5 minutes. You can realize that
right.
He was, mentally capable of making those type of decisions.
By the way, let me just, if you don't mind, before I forget sure. this, to everybody out there who's a baby boomer, who has older parents, like Larry's talking about, in their 80s or whatever, it's not a scam, but one of the clever ways to get these people in to buy a car is they'll send these notices out, making it seem like there's a shortage of cars like yours, and we really need your car, and we're going to go out of our way to make you the world's greatest deal because you have something we want.
Yeah.
Like an aluminum drive for World War II.
Yeah.
When you buy a car, anytime I've bought a car, they ask for my driver's license, and they actually make a copy of it, right? And they check to make sure that your license is valid, don't they?
No. I've never bought a car and had to show my driver's license.
Oh.
Now, the one caveat to that is that when you get it suspended and you have one of those embossed things that says suspended on it, they take your driver's license, and then the DWI person, they'll have restricted drive, they'll say restricted across it. But if the garden variety person that's suspended for points, not for drunk driving case, their driver's license looks like everybody else, and you have a driver's license. There it is. They don't run.
I could be wrong, but I don't ever remember having to show a driver's license to buy a car. Quite frankly, I don't think it matters. If I want to buy a car and turn around and give it to someone, who cares if I get a driver's license or not? I don't know that.
I think it's more just like to identify people. But they would have no indication that he had that. The problem that on the side of Larry, well, first, I thought at the beginning Larry said, may he rest in peace. Has he passed away?
He has passed away. Okay. So my question is, is the estate responsible for that $5,200 or whatever that fee is, that the loan company has assessed to him?
Well, is there an executor on that estate?
Yes.
I would send out the notices per the statute on notifying these creditors, and then I would fight with the probate court like hell, and I would tell the judge exactly what they did. Because there's something called, and is this Missouri or Illinois?
Missouri.
There's something called the Missouri Merchandise Practices Act, and it's exactly what Frank was going to say. Yeah. It's designed to prevent the type of con artistry that gets older people to be scared or enticed into buying a car they don't need. What does an 85-year-old guy need to be sent a letter in the mail, direct mail about, to buy a new car? If he wants to buy a new car, he knows that he could buy a new car, and if he wants to ride in style, he knows how to do that. But when he came into the dealership on this come-on, and it's directed at certain folks of a certain age, and he walks in, and they ask him where he lives, and he thinks about it for a while, and he doesn't really know, there's some indication that maybe somebody should have come with him.
Now, that's what I was going to say. And Larry, was there nobody around when all this happened to go places with him and help him navigate through this stuff?
We thought we had all the keys to his vehicle, but he had his own hidden set. And so that's how he made it out. Oh.
So Scott, the answer to his question, is the estate on the hook for this money?
They're on the hook for notifying the creditor. I think that under these circumstances, the probate court was like, what happened? You sent a direct mail piece to a guy, and then he came in, and he's 85, and you told him that his car that was paid for, that he needed to trade that in, and you sold it to him, and he died like a year later? Like, that's a problem. But did they get a judgment against him? Did they file suit, serve him?
No.
They never did?
No.
That's good.
All they did was send a letter of demand.
That's good, because now it's not a secured judgment. It's not a real debt. It's a claimed debt. And that's going to serve a better purpose, not only in priority, but also in the judge and the probate court looking at this and going, I don't think so. I don't think a guy with medical history like this, and I'd have the executor of the state get the medical history, go order the medical records from his neurologist that says this guy's had dementia and Alzheimer's disease for 10 years.
So in other words, short answer is there's a good chance you're not going
to
be.
But you have to, there's steps you should take and notice, because they might miss the notice. The notice is put in a newspaper, in a legal newspaper. And I don't want the car dealership to go look in the legal newspaper, but if they miss it, they're out. So I would say executor of the estate, notify them and fight like hell by getting those medical records.
And Larry, before we move on, if you need sort of a walkthrough of what the steps are, do you have Scott's email address?
I do. The law offices at
GMO. No!
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 I was close.
You were close. Give it to him, Scott.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Larry, Alzheimer's, how long did your dad have it?
He had it for approximately 9 years, and my mother-in-law also She kind of hid it from the family, you know, so we weren't, you know, weren't aware of it. And then she passed away before he did. Mm-hmm. And then we were kind of, you know, all of a sudden, holy cow, he's leaving groceries in the car. He can't, he, you know, the places that he would go all the time, like he would call us and he would forget how to get home. And that's when we decided it was time to take the keys away, but we didn't know that he had his own set stash. So when we weren't there, he was going around, tooling around. When we found that out, we, you know, got his license, had him sent for a license reexamination, which he didn't pass.
Right.
So then we thought that would put an end to it, and we got the other set of keys, but he had another set cut. So I don't know whether he had a lock.
How do you remember where those were?
I don't know.
And he had a set of keys, and he remembered.
He probably. Yeah.
Larry, let me ask you, if you don't mind, was how much of the last part of his life, did he get to that point where he didn't know who you were?
He would forget sometimes, but it wasn't to the point where, you know,
where he just had lost it permanently and didn't know who anybody was.
Right. And then towards, you know, the last year, 2 years of his life, we had some, you know, a family member was with him, you know, almost all the time, unless they had to go to work or whatever.
Good. Well, so, you know what? You're very lucky in that way, because in my own family, I have watched it go far too long, and for a long, long time, the person didn't even know his own wife, kids, nothing. And it's a mean, horrible, nasty disease. Get a hold of Scott if you need to. Good luck with this. I think you got this one going in your favor.
I do. And hey, Frank, again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support for law enforcement.
Well, here's how you can thank me. Can I ask what municipality in what municipality do you work in law enforcement?
I work for the city of Bridgeton.
Okay. You can do me a favor. If you see me speeding through Bridgeton, just let me go. That'll be my thank you.
Hey, Larry.
I'm kidding. Give me a ticket.
You know Cindy Corzine, don't you?
I do. She retired.
Yeah. Once. Cindy used to babysit me when we were kids.
Okay. That's a great story. No. Larry, thank you for what you do. We all appreciate it. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Take care.
And they're good. That's a really good department. They do a very good job.
I want to ask Paul if he minds if I do something. Hey, Paul, welcome to 590, and you're about to say hello to Scott Sherman. Do you mind if I just share a quick Alzheimer's story with people? You got a couple minutes?
Go right ahead. It'll probably fit right in with me.
Okay. I used to work for a guy whose wife's dad had, he had dementia, and he had some money. But in the end, he had less money because they found out that he was going not once or twice or three times, but maybe a dozen times. And when he would go into like a cafe or a restaurant, he would chat it up with the cute waitresses. And I think they told me that probably a dozen times he bought them new cars.
Oh.
Because they would start to sense that he was somebody you could kind of manipulate, and these people should burn in hell who do this and take advantage of old people. But they give him the sob story, you know, my husband left him, raised two kids. Next thing you know, he'd go with them to the dealership and pay cash for a car. Like 12 cars he did this, they found out.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing they discovered probably happened, there was a connection. These waitresses would tell others, hey, this guy will buy you a car. And he was an easy mark. So
like Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, but that's why it's so important to have a family. If you can't always have a family member, kind of going with these
and
people.
And as it gets to the point where they're diagnosed with that, while they still have the capacity, get them to sign a guardianship so that can't happen.
Right. All right, now, Paul, thank you for letting me tell that story. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. My question is about an easement. I own a residence. It has a driveway on the side of the residence, comes up past the backyard, and then the parking area is behind the backyard is a garage area. The next door neighbor on the survey, it says an easement for a common driveway. Now, when my driveway hits the street, theoretically, it's a few inches over onto their property. And that's where the easement is at, right next to my driveway at the street. comes up beside their house. Now, the problem is their driveway is on the other side of the house, okay? So this says an easement for a common driveway. Does that give them the right to use my driveway?
I'm not even going to take a run at this one, Scott.
Okay, so your driveway encroaches a little bit onto their property. But it's your the driveway that goes to your backyard, sort of between the house parking area.
See, my first response would be no.
Yes.
It doesn't.
Maybe 18 inches at the apron where it winds
Let
me give people an idea of what 18 inches looks like. Hang on, here. That's what you're talking about right there. Jealous.
I think I saw one of your magazines back in the other room.
What do you think? This is a tough one.
I'm going to say that the right of use, and when you say easement, are you looking at your...
No, the easement is on their property.
But as far as the title work, as far as the title work goes, that's on your
driveway?
Yeah, survey.
It's on
a survey that I have. Yes.
It's on a survey that you had, so it's on to yours. So easement, right of use for a...
Common
driveway.
Now, there's an area set off in that easement. It's marked off, and it's got lines, and it shows the dimensions of the easement. And that's all on their property.
Yeah.
The easement is not on my property. The easement's on their property.
I think common driveway. I think the word common is a mistake that theoretically, if they were going by the letter of that easement filing, that they could use your driveway. But I think that if you challenge that to keep them off of just driving and parking in the back of your house, I think you would win.
Yeah.
But the way you described it, and the question was, the way that is stated, could they use a common driveway? And I think the answer is yes. So I think that easement needs to be changed. But the problem you have is if the easement was taken away, could you still get your car back behind your property? Or do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you don't need you don't need that piece of driveway that's on their property.
No, you could, it's 18 inches maybe at the apron where the driveway wides out at the street.
Okay? I live right now. I mean, literally, the driveway of my house and my neighbors is, if you took 18 inches away, you know, you get a bicycle back there.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's really important. So could you keep them off of your property? Yeah. And if they made a stink about it, I would file for a declaratory judgment action and get that amended, get it changed.
Okay, but my point is,
yeah,
the survey says easement for a common driveway. There is no common driveway.
Okay.
Unless you're talking about mine. All the easement is onto their property. To me, the way I interpret that, if they wanted to put in a driveway at that point, they could.
I agree with that.
The problem would be the easement would run into their air conditioner and everything else that's built along the side of their house.
I think you've got a solution looking for a problem. But I also agree that the two words, common and now for, it's not an easement on a common driveway. It's an easement for a common driveway. And since there is no common driveway, it's carved in there for the potential of that. But they haven't done that. Now, who poured your driveway? Did you have somebody put that in?
This property's been there.
Been there more than 10 years, right?
It's been there 75 years.
Well, here's,
and I bought it, you know, 10 years ago. I bought it as is, if you will, you know what I'm saying? That driveway's been there for 75 years or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think that you could take that piece, that 18-inch piece, you could actually get it yourself because it's been more than 10 years, and that's our old friend adverse possession. So if you wanted to take that strip of land that is underneath the, I guess it's blacktop or asphalt or pavement or something, you could take that. But for right now, I think you're good. I don't think but I think that it gives them the right to put a driveway in on that area of that driveway – that's on your
land. Property.
On their property. But also, if they needed part of yours as the front, they couldn't own it, but they could use your front of your driveway to drive, theoretically, onto the driveway that they would put on their property.
Now, Paul, so that Scott can kind of walk you through whatever process you need to go to get this changed, do you have his email address?
Well, absolutely.
What is it?
Not B, but Law Office of Scott Sherman at email.com.
Listen to this guy. Listen to Paul. He's got it down. Paul, the good news is I don't think this is going to be a big deal. I think
it's not a problem. It's not a problem. I was just curious. There's no driveway there. The easement, if they decided to put a driveway there, first of all, it's a high berm. My driveway's cut through a berm, David. But then their air conditioner, theoretically, I think, sits on what is called their easement, you know?
Yeah, but it's not a problem now, but you're smart to look at the fact that it could be down the road.
And I think Paul's read of that language is correct. It does provide for a future potential driveway easement. I think he's right.
Hey, Paul, thank you for listening, and thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. He had an interesting voice.
He's really like an airline pilot.
Yeah, or a guy with a built-in PA system or something in his throat. Folks, the lines are open now because people were taken care of, and they've gone on their way, and now you can call in 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Clyde, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Clyde.
Hi. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I think this will be a quick question. My wife just called me, and she just received a call from out of state saying it was the, they said they were the IRS, and you have to call back within 24 hours.
Yeah. IRS, first of all, IRS, IRS never calls anybody. It's a scam. Did your wife fall for it? Did your wife think it was legit?
No, she's driving, so she didn't call them back. And I asked her, was it a live person or was it a recording? She said it was a recording. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if they want to get a hold of you, wouldn't they have a live person call you?
Yeah, well, I've been around for a while, and in my life, not only have I never had a call from the IRS, nobody has, and you can't even get them to call you back or get the right people on the phone when you call them. So, don't even worry about it and just forget it ever came in. It's not legit.
And it's a great public service announcement.
Wait, hold on. Your wife did what?
She wanted me to call them back and do a phone scam on them. And I thought, nah, probably better not.
Now, you know what? You need to divorce her. How long have you been married? How long have you been married?
21 years almost.
That's enough. You gave it a good run. You gave it a chance.
Move on.
This woman's trying to get you in trouble. Ignore it. It's a complete scam.
There was some guy on Facebook, and he videoed himself with them, scamming them back. He had them on the speakerphone and everything, and he had them on the phone for over 30 minutes. And then he finally told them, This is 30 minutes, so you didn't have a chance to scam somebody else.
Yeah, and you know what he really did? He just wasted 30 minutes of his own time.
Yeah, I know.
That's all he did.
And it goes for all of these official government agencies. They're not calling you. The IRS is not going to call you. The Justice Department will not call you.
Department of Revenue is not
They're not calling you. The police department, if they call you and you don't answer, they'll knock on your door. The courts are not going to call you. No one is calling you about money. You will get a letter.
Unless you owe it to them.
Certified letter or one of these. Or if it's a law enforcement agency, one of those.
Police.
Do not talk to these people. Do not call them back. Do not get worried. But you would be shocked at the number of people who have been.
That's why those scam systems exist, because they have enough people who do respond to fund what they're doing.
And they'll do this. We just need to verify your Social Security number and date of birth, please.
You
and
also
then
have
by the time you're done with that, you're done.
You have to be careful about emails also that look so legit. And I would definitely just, like, not even call the phone number on the email. Call it, call the number that you know is that company, say iTunes or something like that, that calls and says, we need to update your profile and all that.
I like
stuff.
To ignore all mail that isn't certified or unless somebody shows up in person.
Yeah.
That's just sort of the...
Yeah,
the,
if somebody really wanted my money, they'd go through a more official channel.
Exactly. That's and you know, you don't even need Scott's email address because your problem is solved.
I think I'm good, and I'm glad I could give a public service announcement for those that haven't heard it before.
You bet. Thank you for that service, and thanks for listening.
All right, thanks.
All right, Clyde, thank you. You take a break, Limey? Quick one? Quick break. We come back. Lines are open. Bill, hang on. Don't go anywhere because you're next. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. A quick break, and then we're coming right back. You are listening to Scott Sherman on 590 The Fan.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
What does USDA Prime Beef really mean? You usually won't find USDA Prime meat at your supermarket because its limited supply is gobbled up by the finest upscale restaurants. Of all the beef produced in the U.S., less than 2% is certified USDA Prime. But at Surf and Sirloin, located eastbound Manchester just west of 270, that's what's for dinner. The USDA Prime New York Strip Ribeye and Porterhouse. And Surf and Sirloin is also now hiring servers, hostess, and bartender positions. Call 822-3637 or check them out online, surfandsirloin.com.
The traffic looks right now with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Nature Valley. Accident westbound 70 before Kings Highway and then westbound 70 jams into a crash on eastbound 70 at Jennings Station. You've got another crash westbound 70 past the Blanchett Bridge. Accident eastbound 270 near Missouri Bottom. A possible second accident in the backup. And now we have an accident reported northbound 170 north of the Forest Park Parkway. When you unwrap a Nature Valley granola bar, you know what you see? Granola. That's because their ingredients are right there. The only thing you can't see is how much you'll love it. So for energy that goes where you go, try a snack from Nature Valley. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
All right, thank you, Tori. We are back with Scott Sherman. Quickly, because we still can get probably two or three callers in here. Bill is next, and before we say hi to Bill and he says hi to Scott, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Bill, welcome to 590. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Yeah, that's my cue. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Good. Hey, since we're doing easement questions, I have a quick one for you. There's a large road, and then my subdivision comes off of this road. I live on the corner of the large road and the subdivision. The subdivision is a dead end street. It has multiple little like cul-de-sac park areas, but it's a dead end street. So recently there was a meeting of the neighborhood subdivision, or what I like to call the busybody communist. And during the meeting, was made, hey, we want to put up a sign on the corner of the subdivision, a large sign announcing the entrance to the subdivision. And there were, part of the meeting, there were already complaints because other areas were not being taken care of. Well, I live on the corner, so I asked the neighborhood trustees, what property are you speaking about? And they said, yours. And one of the trustees said, well, yeah, we already have permission to put a sign there. And I said, no, I didn't give you permission. And then the statement was, well, there is a St. Louis County easement between the sidewalk and the big road. We'll just put the sign in there. my statement was, well, you're complaining that other areas aren't taken care of, and I don't want a bunch of kids sitting on a sign and falling off onto my property and trying to sue me, and I don't want to have to go out and change light bulbs, pick up cigarette butts, and paint a sign. So I'm assuming that's an easement for the county, not for a neighborhood sign desire. Is that correct?
Real quickly, I'll jump in and play amateur attorney. I think you are correct. I don't think it's for them. I think it's for the county. But now here's a real attorney, Scott Sherman.
I agree with you. I think that Bill's right. I think that that easement is for the use by the people to whom it is granted. And whether it's Ameren or the county or the state or whomever, that doesn't, that easement doesn't just pass and can't be handed out and passed around to whomever feels like it. So this association, if they don't have permission from the county to do it, I think that they're out of luck, and well, they can vote whatever they'd like, but I don't think they can vote themselves onto your property unless you want them to.
Well, no, and is it correct to assume that if a bunch of kids are waiting for a bus, or it's on the weekend and they sit on top of the sign smoking cigarettes and they fall off the sign into my yard, that my homeowner's insurance would be liable for any injuries?
My answer to that is no.
No more than if they were on a speed limit sign.
Or if they're hanging from power
or
lines.
Or mailbox.
Or, they try
it's
to
not yours.
To do a tightrope act on power lines.
Now, if you went out and put up a sign and they did that, yeah, you have no control over that, nor did you place it.
Okay.
So I think you're okay, other than what is that going to do, A, to the value of your home, is it related to what it was before then? And that comes into, and if they want to put that on there, and they want to take that, they might think about paying you or say, hey, you know what? Give me $10,000. You can put your stupid sign up there, but I'm not doing it for free.
Bill, will it?
If you decide you don't want that sign, they can't decide that.
Bill, will it be an eyesore for your property?
Yes, and here's the thing. I opened my mouth when I shouldn't have, because there was a complaint that some of the little park areas were only being taken care of by the people in the houses that were around them, so they were complaining. And of course, what I said was, why do you need a big sign? Are you not getting your pizzas or what? And here's the other thing. If someone doesn't take care of that little corner down there, who do you think's going to take care of the sign in my yard? And guess what? That worked great for my relationship with the neighbors.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did.
Bill, the right, a-hole. Well, Bill's neighbor. Yeah. Bill's right about these associations. As a group, and we don't want to generalize, except for this, they're horrible people, and they have nothing to do, and they don't fix anything. And guess what? If they were on the corner, the group that wants the sign wouldn't want the sign.
Yeah, and by the way, in every homeowners association group that I've ever known about, there is always that one a-hole resident. It's either the one that has to walk around and find something, an infraction. You've got a rusted out old barbecue grill, and it says in paragraph 6, page 13, you can't have unsightly. There's that busybody with nothing to do but go and pick on other people's property. They all
Gladys
have one.
Gladys Kravitz and her husband.
Yes. Yeah,
you can't. Yeah, all right. Thanks, guys. That's
right.
Great.
Thank you, Bill. Wow.
Remember the guy that's got the truck and they're citing him because his work van is in the driveway?
Yes.
I think we came up with a solution to that.
Yeah.
But what a bunch of BS.
Let's get Tom in here. Tom, welcome to 590. Thank you for the call. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. My name is Tom and I'm in the gym floor business.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, just fine. Was called by an insurance company to go look at a gym at a Catholic grade school out in West County. The light bulb had exploded and burned the floor, and we went out, checked it out, gave them a bid like $20,000 to do the repairs and everything. So they paid us half down to start. We went out, we repaired the area, we refinished the entire gym, painted the whole thing when we got finished with the job. We're not satisfied. We're not going to pay you anymore. In fact, we're going to sue you so to have some other company come in and fix everything that we don't like. And I said, what don't you like? I'd be glad to fix it for you. You know, just tell us what we need to do. No, we don't even want you in the building anymore.
Oh, man.
I've been in the business 40 years and have never had a complaint.
Tom, was there a reason that you got the job on the bid? Was this a low bid, your bid? Were there other bids?
They took two bids, and we're a non-union company. The other bidder was a union company, and this particular church, the people making decisions are huge union people.
So why didn't they just go with them?
Because they were like $10,000 more than us, and the insurance company said, you know, we'll pay the $20,000, but you'll have to pay the additional $10,000. Well, they didn't want to do that.
Here's a real fine religious institution.
Yeah.
Yes,
one,
sir.
They want the cheapest bid. They're loyal to the union people, except for the money.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to owing the guy that did the work the money, they want to screw him out of the money. Boy, where do you sign your kids up to go to that church?
Tom, I'm not the attorney here, and I'm going to turn it right over to Scott, but I think you absolutely should get your money and will get your money. Here's Scott.
Whether this place is called Our Lady of the Ripoff or whatever, Tom, you're getting screwed. They don't have a reason why this gym floor is fit for its regular purpose. Plus, you say 40 years in the business and you got the job and you probably, you know, did a pretty good job. That's why you keep getting these bids. The only reason that they gave you the job was because you were cheaper. And now the only reason they don't want to pay you is that they're even cheaper than you thought in the first place.
They're not only cheap, they're greedy, and they are, oh my goodness, I don't even know what names to call these people. In the end, they want to end up basically paying nothing for this floor. They want to get it free. You're going to win this one. You're going to win this one. We're out of time.
Hey, you should sue them.
Yeah, I would. I'd sue them, and you'll win. Do you have Scott's email address?
I do.
Prove it.
Scott Sherman.
No!
No!
Hello! I'm going to give you... No! Third time. Try it again.
Hold on. Let me look on my phone. I have it on here.
You have just enough time to redeem yourself here.
I'm just an idiot. What can I say?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Idiot!
You idiot!
We're running out of time, so Scott's just going to give it to you.
Go ahead. LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
All right. Tom, good luck. I don't think you have any problem with this. Go get your money. We have 2 minutes. If we can do this with Debbie in a couple of minutes, I'd like to at least give her that much time. Debbie, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott, and hey, guys, I'm Am and the Pimp.
Thank you.
I'm calling about payroll deductions. Like, a buddy of mine, they made a mistake at work. And they're deducting that from their paycheck. I was like, can they do that? So it's like, hey, that's my only question.
Deducting
and
what?
You for your time.
Well, hold on.
What are they deducting?
Don't hang
what
up
are they
here.
Deducting?
Oh, okay, sorry.
No.
The deduction was that it was a truck driver, and so some of his freight in the back of his little truck, or whatever you want to call it, fell over. So some of it was damaged. So they're making him pay for the damaged merchandise.
No
way. And it was
way.
Just... Yeah.
I hate that. I've heard about this with restaurants. Somebody, you know, doesn't, the food's not right, so they take it out of the waitress's check. No. In fact, I got an employment law guy. I would like you to send me an email so that they can chat. I hate that kind of stuff. You cannot just take out somebody's money without a judgment or some kind of collection authority. You can just decide, I'm just going to take this out because you might have broken something.
Now we're out of time. Debbie, do you have Scott's email address? Because you really do need to email about this.
Well, it's a buddy of mine, but I know it's on your website. And I know the office is in plural. I think that's where everybody gets hung up with offices. But anyway, thank you guys for your time.
Hi, right, Debbie. Thank you.
Wow. Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right. Oh, my goodness.
That was quick.
Yeah, please don't forget, if you enjoy this, if you learned from it, if you've been helped by it, please remember to show your gratitude to Peroni's Pizza, because that is Scott Sherman's sponsor. Two locations, Florissant and St. Peter's, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tremendous all-you-can-eat buffet. And on Friday, it includes their chicken wings. And at Florissant, they can accommodate up to 100 people with their banquet room. It's a tremendous places, plural, P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, PeroniesPizza.com. Scott, thank you again.
Brent, thank you as
we
well.
We will do this again next Thursday. And, folks, stay with us because the Playhouse is coming up right after the news. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590TheFan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone, from the 590 The Fan KFNS studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. We're just minutes away from hour number three of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way. And two traffic updates in this 5 o'clock hour as well. Here's what's happening. Flooding in North Carolina rivers is already underway as massive Hurricane Florence slowed down and its outer bands hammered towns of the Barrier Islands earlier this afternoon. Some areas also saw the first of hurricane force winds that cover more than 15,000 square miles. That's larger than the states of Massachusetts, Connecticut,